B'choros Perek Dalet, Mishnah Yud, the last of the Perek, and we're wrapping up the topic of the halachas of people who are chashud or suspected of breaking the Torah in various ways. The question is, if a person is got a halachas status of being chashud in one area, are we choshedim, do we assume the same in another area? For example, if the person is chashud on a maestros, so then we say, okay, so we can't buy foodstuffs from him. The question is, can you buy flax from him in the Shemitah year? Or if someone who's suspected on Shemitah violations, therefore you can't buy produce from him in the Shemitah year, on a regular non-Shemitah year, can you buy produce from him? Can you expect to be kosher? That's the question. And the answer to that in principle is as follows. If there is a reason why we would think that he'd be more strict, this no-goodnik who's done an avera in this regard, okay? But we say, listen, he was lenient there because he thought it was less severe, but he has a good reason to think that another area of the Torah is more strict, and therefore he wouldn't, you know, flout the Torah in that area. Then we can trust him in that area until proven otherwise. And certainly if we're talking about if he's known to break the Rabbanans, he wouldn't break a Doraisa, for example. In contrast, if it's something which is more severe, like breaking a Doraisa, so then we certainly have to suspect him of breaking a Rabbanan as well. That's the idea. Okay, so the Mishnah says inside, Hechashud al Shvius eno chashud al Maisras. One who has the halachic status of a chashud, meaning he is suspected because we know he in the past has violated the halachas of Shvius, so we know he sold Per Shvius at a commercial activity Per Shvius and lied, saying that it was legitimate when it wasn't. So we said you can't buy produce from him in the seventh year, not even flax, but eno chashud al Maisras, you're not restricted from buying Maisras from him. Maisras, again, stuff that he saying is. With regard to the Maaser Sheni mitzvah, you know, we don't suspect him of selling Maaser Sheni produce in like the year 1, 2, 4, 5 of the Shemitah cycle outside of Yerushalayim and saying, oh, this isn't Maaser Sheni. We're not afraid that it is. Why not? They're both Doraisas, but Maaser Sheni has a sort of stricture that is sort of psychologically significant in as much as you can't eat it outside of Yerushalayim. So therefore, this guy who already has broken the Torah in the Shemitah department, you might think, okay, he breaks Shemitah because it's sort of less severe in his mind, but he would think that Maestros are more severe, and therefore he wouldn't violate the halachas of Maestros. That's the idea, Maestros Sheni. Similarly, Hechashud al Maestros, one who is suspect regarding Maestros, so that means he was selling Maestros Sheni produce as if it were Chulin, without any restriction. That's a no-no, and now we can't buy other Maestros from him. We're afraid he doesn't keep up with the halacha. However, Eino Chashud al Shvius, we're not afraid he's also going to, in the Shemitah year, sell produce which he claims is, you know, non-Shemitah produce, when really it is. Why are we not afraid of that? Because even though, again, they're both Doraisas, Shemitah produce has a stricture that Maestros don't, because Maestros, if you want, you can redeem them onto the sanctity off of the produce onto coins, bring the coins to Yerushalayim, eat them there. But there's no such notion of pidyon, of redemption, when it comes to the produce that grows in the Shemitah year. If it's got Kedusha Shvius, then it's got Kedusha Shvius. Like, example, fruits that grow on the trees and nuts. Those have Kedusha Shvius and have to be eaten accordingly. And you cannot sort of say, I'll redeem the Kedusha and eat it elsewhere in Yerushalayim. You can't do that. Since there's a stricture with regard to Shemitah produce, we might think that this person is more strict with regard to Shemitah produce than with Maestros, and therefore you could trust his Shemitah produce, even though we know that he has violated halachas of Maestros in the past. Now, the next line of the Mishnah, just let me give you a preview. There is no requirement, Maker Adin, to eat produce, to eat food that is tahor. You can be tummy, your food can be tummy, and if you're eating chulin anyways, you know, non-sanctified produce, and truma and the like, if you're eating it as in a state of tumah or let it become tummy l'chachila, that's all fine midoraisa. Restrictions that come to letting tumah spread have to do with kadshim, the restrictions on truma, there's even restrictions on maaser sheni, going to Yerushalayim, but regular chulin is no restriction whatsoever. Nevertheless, the chachamim said that it's an ideal for a person to eat even their chulin b'tahara, their regular food with tahara. And that being the case, there's such like a rabbinic idea. So now, what happens if we know someone is a liar and he said that this food was tahar when it really was tummy? Okay? So he doesn't keep taharos in that, he doesn't keep the food tahar in that respect. So if you know this guy doesn't, he lies and he says that tahar food is really tummy, do we have to suspect that he breaks Shemitah and breaks Maestros and lies about it? The answer is no, because those are Doraisas, he's liable to be more strict and careful about those. However, on the other flip side of the coin, if we know that he doesn't keep Maestros and lies about it, or Shemitah and lies about it, then for sure we have to suspect he's going to lie about a Durban issue like keeping Chulin Tahor. That's what the Mishnah says inside. It says, Hechashud al zeh va al zeh, if one is suspected on both, or really true, this either or Maestris or Shemitah, lying about it, doing illegal activity and then trying to fool the public, and he got caught in the past. So then Chashud Ala Taharos, we certainly suspect that his food is not Torah even if he says it is. Now, let me just speak out what that means. Well, let me say the other side. So on the other hand, let me say the other side of the coin. V'yeshu Chashud Ala Taharos, and on the other hand, you could have someone who is suspected regarding Taharos, meaning that he's lied in the past, and he said tahor. He said that tamei food is tahor, and we caught him out. Eno chashud lo alze velo alze. We don't suspect he also lies about shemitah produce, and you could buy produce from him in the seventh year. Nor do we expect him to be lying about meiser sheni produce or truma for the like that matter, and you could buy it from him as well as appropriate, because he doesn't care about a derabbanan, doesn't care about a deraisa. Okay. That'll make sense. The next line of the Mishnah is like kind of like a new paragraph. So I'm just sum up what this would mean in real life. Let me speak it out here for a second. La-halacha. So when you buy produce from any Am Haaretz, not someone who's chashud, a person who's a tzaddik gamor, but just he's not especially learned, or for that matter, he doesn't commit to keeping tahor. So that person's called Am Haaretz, as opposed to a chaver, and we learn Maseches Domai at length, and you have to assume he hasn't taken proper certain Trumas Maaser. Specifically, we're worried, the halacha learned Maseches Domai, we're worried about Trumas Maaser, as well as Maaser Sheni. So, without getting to the details of that, the point is, when you buy produce from an Am Haaretz, or anyone who hasn't formally accepted to become, you know, a chaver and do it properly, so you have to treat his stuff as Suffolk, is called Domai, as maybe tithe, maybe not. So you'll tithe it again, removing the Trumas Maaser and redeeming the Maaser Sheni as appropriate, without a bracha, because maybe he did, maybe he didn't. So when we're saying someone is chashud al maestros, what we're saying is when you buy maestros from him, you have to actually not just tithe it, but you have to make a bracha, because we're treating it as certainly not tithe. Even if he says it is, we don't believe him one bit. Okay? So our point of admission there is saying if a person has been suspected of being, of lying regarding maestro sheni, then you have to tithe this produce with a bracha, but you can purchase, let's say, flax or any food stuff from him on the seventh year. On the flip side, if someone is suspected of lying about Shemitah, you cannot purchase any foodstuffs or even flax and linen from him on the seventh year, but you could purchase foodstuffs and not be afraid about his Maaser Sheni, etc. But that just means that he's an Am Haaretz and you still have to separate the tithes as if it were Demai, uncertainly tithe produce. No doubt about that. Okay, now the last line of the Mishnah, of the whole parak here, is a little, you know, throws us for a curveball, because the words are Zeha Klal. This is the governing principle. And almost always when a Mishnah ends with the phrase Zeha Klal, this is the governing principle, what it comes to do essentially is to sum up what was said before in the Mishnah. And in fact, so much so that typically the Gemara will say, well, we just read the Mishnah, why does it sum it up for us? We can figure out the principle for ourselves. And therefore it asks always, when it asks Zeha Klal, what's La Suye Mai? What's that coming to add? What new information are we getting from this Klal? Here, however, in our Mishnah, this phrase Zeha Klal is referring to a new thing. So we're not summing up what the past was and saying what the principle that guided the Mishnah up to now. We're saying like a new principle. Zeha Klal, a new principle. Kol hechashud al hadavar, lo dano v'lo me'ido. Says the Tana here, if someone has a status of being a chashud regarding a particular matter, let's say, for example, Shemitah, he may not function as a judge in Shemitah cases, nor may he function as an aide testifying regarding someone's, you know, Shemitah observance. We don't accept the testimony. We assume, this Tana assumes, that if he's, you know, if he lies about his own activities, he'll lie about other people's activities as well. Okay? Now, the halacha here is a little more complicated, so we're not going to discuss it now. We're going to wait till the next parak, Mishnah Daled, and we'll discuss this halacha more at length over there.